I think the last time you were here, I was having uncomfortable conversations in Sunday school, and we're going to have more. I think maybe if it's uncomfortable, it's his fault. You might think that's what we're doing every time I get it. But we've been talking about the goal was child rearing, really, and raising godly offspring. But we've been almost probably 8 weeks now, starting with dating and marriage. It's like every time I study and I meditate, I think like my whole purpose was we can't start with parenting and biblical parenting and the fundamentals of parenting if our marriages aren't rooted in scripture and we don't have biblical marriage. So that's the goal. We spent, gosh, I think 3 weeks now on the scripture of Ephesians and 1 Peter. And then I wasn't going to put this up, but I put this up every week. I like it. But comfort is the enemy of any forward movement, and no pain, no gain. And some of it might have been painful, some of it is not. Today, maybe some will, some not. But you know, I thought about this picture last week. I'm like, you know, I wish there were steroids for our marriage, because clearly there are steroids there. And but you know, we could look at scripture as a steroids for our marriage. Steroids are obviously not a good thing, in my opinion. But apply the word, apply scripture to your marriages, and that's going to be what really helps it take off and helps it get where you want to be. So that's our goal. If you guys want, we can open up to Ephesians. I'm going to start with 5:31. We can stand as well for God's word. So it'll be Ephesians 5:31.
I do have it on the board as well.
I'll start with 5:31, and we'll also have 1 Peter 3. And I'm starting with the end of the verse here. We spent 2 weeks on the beginning, 5:21, all the way through. And I spoke on the husbands and the men's role. My wife spoke on women and submission. If you guys did not hear that, it is posted online now, so you guys can catch that because my wife did a great job on women. And I think if you're not up to speed, you can see that. So I'll start with the reading here. Ephesians 5:31. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And again, that's kind of sums up the whole passage. We spent a lot of time already, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Women, submit to your husbands. So we're not going to recover that. And I also have 1 Peter 3. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respect and pure conduct. And then down to verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Okay, you may be seated. So, I'm not going to try to recap everything here. But kind of the last few weeks, this isn't even all-inclusive, but you guys heard me. You heard me say, really, what we need is biblical men. Strong biblical men, spiritual leaders, not passive men. A lot of our problems in our households are going to be solved with the men being the men they should be. That's not an excuse for anyone else or for what the woman needs to do as well. But you know, I think we're called to be spiritual leaders and God's men. That's going to help a lot of things. So there's no ifs in the commands in the Ephesians earlier. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Women, submit to your husbands. There's no if there. And this might be harsh. I'm sorry. I'm going to do this on both sides. Like, ladies, if your husband is less than desirable, if you married a worthless man, whatever you want to say, it doesn't change the command what you're supposed to do. And my wife's story is a great testament to that. I'm not speaking down to anybody. I was a worthless husband early on. And if you didn't hear it, hear what she has to say about that. And then, men, you're to love your wife sacrificially like Christ loved the church, whether your wife deserves it or not, whether she's respecting you or not. There's no ifs. Okay, we're commanded to do what we can do. We can only control ourselves. We cannot control our spouse. Okay? Marriage is to serve and not be served, just like Christ came. Christ came as a servant, not to be served. That really changed a lot for me in my marriage because I looked at my marriage as what am I getting from it? How is my wife serving me? What is my benefit? And then I decided I need to learn how to serve my wife, honor my wife, love my wife. Really changed our marriage. Love is sacrificial. This is agape love for the better of the other person. and it goes to the same point. Not seeing what I'm getting out of this, but I need to learn how to love my wife for her benefit. What's good for her, not what's good for me, and vice versa for spouses. And then we did talk about marriage as a reflection of the relationship between Christ and the church. And I heard a whole message on this talking about marriage as being a wall or a window. Wasn't that fantastic of a message to me, but I like the idea of the window. Like, it should be a window to that relationship. Your marriage should be a window to Christ and the church. Not a wall, not a decorated wall or whatever you want to make of that. And then there is strength in meekness. My wife did a great job on this, on that part. Meekness, there's strength and discipline in self-control. So that's a little summation, not even all-inclusive of where we've been in the last few weeks, at least. So where I want to go now is practical. So we've had the theology. That's important. We have the biblical principles. And now I want to talk about practicalities. I love being practical. So what do things look like? So to start with that, though, we are going to talk about the love languages, five love languages. I think it's very important. Maybe everybody's heard of it. Maybe some people have not. Does anybody want to give me some of the five love languages? Shout them out if you know them. Acts of service. What was that?
Quality time.
Words of affirmation. Physical touch. And gifts. Okay, all right. We did. I was worried for a second. You guys had me a little worried. Okay, so that's what we have. Quality time. Receiving gifts. Giving, receiving gifts. Words of affirmation. Physical touch. And acts of service. So, initially, we only know how to speak in our love language in the beginning. I only understand my love language. The other love languages are foreign to me. And typically, you have one, maybe two. There's a whole book on this. There's many of it. I'm not going to go through everything. But the point being is we have to learn what our love language is. First of all, you may not even know your own. If you don't know your own, figure out your own. Just Google this, and there'll be ways for you to figure out. I'm sorry? There's a quiz. Google it. Answer some questions to help you understand what yours are. And if you don't know what your spouse's are, you have to know what your spouse's are and learn those. And so I'll give you guys some information just about myself and my wife, about how I relate to these and what I had to learn for these, only so you guys can hopefully relate to your own situations and understand. If you haven't analyzed this, you need to, but if insert your experiences here. So first of all, my wife needs every love language except for the one that I have. So I have one, and it's a moving target. Like, they change. They rotate a little bit. The priority changes a little bit. So for me, I'm acts of service. I understand acts of service. I speak acts of service because that's the biggest thing for me. But my wife is everything else. So my wife, I would say maybe quality time is my second. Like, I do care about that one. But otherwise, first of all, gifts. If I don't own it, it's because I can't afford it, and neither can you. Like, I don't need gifts. Okay, so my wife, she sent me this little thing of some fancy little flower bouquet company online that, like, puts flowers in a little burlap thing. And she's like, hey, if you ever want to send me a gift or something, I'd like to. Like, cool. So I send her a marketplace ad, like, for a Dodge Viper, because it's going to be a Dodge Viper. So that's how I relate to gifts. So they just don't mean anything to me. My wife loves gifts. My wife loves words of affirmation. To me, what am I supposed to do with that? My family never said anything of words of affirmation. They never said, I love you. They never said, a good job. We just didn't have words of affirmation in my life. So they're awkward and uncomfortable for me. Physical touch. She's big on physical touch. Uncomfortable for me. Especially in public. My family didn't hug each other. We didn't touch each other. This was new. I'm just uncomfortable. Okay? And mostly that's a non-sexual thing, because we are going to actually talk about marital intimacy today too. But, you know, even the non-sexual PDA, I am uncomfortable with it. So for me, I changed the oil. I said this a week or two ago. I changed the oil in her car, rotated her tires, changed the wiper blades, put in a new air filter and cabin air filter, and I'm like, bam, hold on. Check out all that I did. And she's like, thanks. Like, and I'm like, I just knocked it out of the park. And, you know, for her, that wasn't such a big deal. So there's big differences, but you can't just operate in that opposition or understanding. So my wife likes flowers and notes. I don't think about that ever. Like, flowers don't cross my mind. Writing a note about my feelings doesn't cross my mind. But I said, you know what? I have to learn that that matters to her. And so I do it. And Pastor Warren's not here to defend himself. I was going to bring this up. Like, he made a statement last week from the pulpit. And he's just like, my wife would die if I wrote her a note. I'm like, I'm not picking up Pastor Warren. Like, write your wife a note. You know? Like, I have to set myself aside and say, this is what my wife needs. Words of affirmation, they make me uncomfortable, but I had to learn how to use them with her. Okay, PDA, I have to learn how to show my affection in public. And I do. And I'm okay with it. I try. So, my wife doesn't get acts of service. She doesn't understand it, but she's learned to notice when I'm doing that for her, aside from the fact that I am use her love languages with her that is totally foreign to me, but she's learned to notice at least when I've done acts of service, because in her it's not even really a thought in her mind, so she notices. And then she's learned for me, she doesn't think about acts of services, but she's learned that's what I need. So she'll do things for me, like, I mean, she makes me a lunch every day for work, makes me feel incredibly loved. Okay, she makes sure my clothes are, the work clothes I need are always ready. Like, I'm very particular routine person. Like, I need a pair of, like, the same pair of pants, the same shirts for my days of work. She makes sure those are taken care of, and it makes me feel incredibly loved. When she comes home, she'll bring a snack or a drink before dinner's ready, or dinner's ready, and I'm like, cool, I feel incredibly loved. So, and also, if she's ready on time, wherever we're going, that's a big one. She is ready to go on time for church or dinner or whatever, I feel incredibly loved. So it's important. Yeah. But I've also learned I'm not going to stand there, hey, it's time to go, let's go. I'm like, I just go sit in the truck. I sit. I'm like, I can't yell. Yelling and screaming ain't going to make any better. And here's the thing, man, I'm so rigid and hardcore on my routine, but honestly, it's a minute or two, I'm sitting in the truck, it's fine. Anyway, I tell you all that, not because I'm saying look at me or look what we do, but just the growth. And it's taken years for my wife and I to develop this and for me to understand these things. And then I'm going to move on to some practical steps for our marriage. Again, not for the point of so you guys look at what I do or what we do, but to see, to look for growth in your life and to look for what your spouse needs, or come up with systems. I'm very systematic and very routine. Come up with these things in your marriage to help. So I'm not saying these things so you look at what I do, but I already mentioned she makes a lunch every day. I make her coffee and the protein shakes we have after the gym. I make those for her. Honestly, it avoids fast food and Starbucks also. So it's just a practical way that way. Talked about clothes. She keeps the house incredibly clean. And then I take care of repairs inside, outside the house. I take care of things like the furnace, the yard, dishwashers, landscaping, snow, car repairs. I already talked about snow last week. Like, we were talking about honoring the weaker vessel. Like, I don't want my wife out there shoveling snow or doing these tasks, although sometimes she enjoys it and wants to do that, which is fine. But I don't expect her to do these things, and I don't leave those things up to her. We have this relationship together, and we do these things together. I talked about this last time. My wife gets the better parking space in the garage, not me. This is honoring the weaker vessel too, honoring your wife. The man should not have the parking space in the garage while the wife is shoveling snow off of her car. Hopefully that's pretty straightforward. Big thing for us, we do Saturday morning breakfast together. Every Saturday, 99% of the time. And this is almost unbreakable. She loves it. She feels honored by that. And enjoys it. It's part of our quality time together as well. If you guys, you really need to be dating your spouse. It doesn't have to be an evening date, but we do that as well, which I'll get to. We do Saturday morning, so that's just our thing. And we do it every time. So everything I schedule, everything she schedules, is after our Saturday breakfast. It's be very easy for us to schedule things at that time and say, oh, not this week, honey, I've got to do this or that. Very easy for me with work, very easy for her with all the things she's trying to do. but we make that important. We talk about our day every day together. We spend that time together. My wife has also learned that I need transition time. So probably maybe some other men will relate with that. I walk in the door, I do need a little transition time. I need to maybe change my clothes, take off my boots, settle in for a second, not just boom. So that was a struggle for her and I sometimes. Like, I need, like, just give me a second to settle in. I'm not being rude, or I want to talk to you. So we've had to learn that together. I talked last week, maybe you guys saw the video with Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez that, you know, changed my life. Ben Affleck was opening the door for Jennifer Lopez, and he was miserable. His face was just, he was having a terrible time. He was not loving this situation. He was miserable. He's opened the door for her, slams the door. I decided, you know what? I want to love my wife. I want to honor my wife. And I am not doing those things right now. So I am going to start doing these things for my wife. So I started opening the door for my wife everywhere we go. And at first she was shocked. What are you doing? She's walking to her car, and I'm like, I'm trying to get over there and beat her to the car door. So I only say these things to come up with, what is it going to be in your life that you guys do for each other that makes a difference? My wife and I do go to the gym together, basically 5 days a week. We do that together, not separate. And if you build that into your routine, that helps. It's random spread. It's not as easy to do those kind of things. Back to dating, we do at least do a dinner. We have dinner together almost every night anyways in our household. Leo and things like, you know, mealtime is important, steady, regular mealtime. So we have dinner together almost every day anyways. But then there's also date nights or things like that at least once a week. I mean, I think if you're married, you should at least be dating your spouse at least a couple times a week if at all possible. And then we vacation together, and I didn't always do that. I don't like crowds. I don't like spending money like that. I don't like being out of my routine. So my wife would tell you, she's like, she just stopped traveling with me because I would be miserable. And she's like, I'm just going to do that in another way. So probably around the same time I started seeing that video of Ben Affleck changing my life, I'm like, you know, my wife likes to travel. I'm going to do that with her, and I'm going to enjoy it. And I've set myself aside and done that for her. And to be honest, it's fun. I like it. I've learned to say, you know what? It's not my routine. We are spending money. I don't like crowds, but I love this time with my wife. So I changed my approach to that. And I said, I'm not going to make her miserable while we do this. I'm going to do this for her. And in doing it for her, I ended up enjoying it. So big difference. And then I'll even talk about Costco yesterday. I come home from work a little bit earlier, and she's like, oh, I got to go to Costco. You want to go to Costco with me? Okay, fine. And I know I'm like, Saturday, we're going to Costco? It's like, yeah, I just got to get a few things. Okay. So I go to Costco, perfectly fine. I'm like, you know what, whatever, parking lot's a mess. People are acting like they're taking the ACT test everywhere you look, in every aisle, in every parking space. But I'm like, whatever, it's fine. I got nothing else I need to be doing. I'm spending time with my wife. She enjoys it. She likes this. She doesn't necessarily enjoy Costco for any weird reason like these people do. But I'm with her. So we go up down the aisles. We only need a few things. And we get towards the end. And then I look and I'm like, wait a minute. The aisles down Costco, people are just standing there. And they're holding carts. And I'm like, oh, no. These are the lines up and down the shopping aisle to get to the checkout. I'm like, oh. Like, it's fine, because, man, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I'd be like, Nicole, why in the world are you doing this? Why are we doing this here? You know, I'd be miserable because there's a line to the back of the store. Set that aside and say, my wife's enjoying this time together. I'm enjoying the time with her. We're cracking jokes, just having a good time with it, as opposed to it would have been miserable. We're definitely not sitting in the food court. I definitely don't understand. Everybody makes a day of Costco, going off on a tangent. Eating the food court after you went through all that, they're just sitting there eating, having a good time. The place is packed. So I tell them, like, we're self-employed. Like, we have Monday through Friday that we can do this. But again, I did it. She wanted to do it. I enjoyed it. Just changed my perspective. Okay. Another one for us, bedtime together. We go to bed at the same time. And I've counseled newlyweds with this too. It's not common. Everybody here may not agree or do it. But I'll tell you, we didn't always do it. She would work very late at night. Sometimes, especially when she was teaching, She would be up midnight, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning working on that stuff, honestly, to a point where it made me resent her job because she was doing that. And, you know, we weren't, and I stumbled upon it because we did not go to bed at the same time. You know, you might be married and say, oh, my spouse is a morning person, I'm a night person. It's fine. I just encourage you guys to think about this because that was us. My wife's like, I'm a night person. I, at night, the kids go to bed, I can get all this thing done, things like that. I stumbled upon this because once in a blue moon, we actually went together at the same time. Like, you know what? We slept better. We felt closer. We snuggled up the whole time, right? And when we didn't, I didn't know when my wife got into bed. We weren't together in the bed. Kind of slept separately away from each other in the bed. And it just wasn't as good for me, I felt. And then she kind of like, no, it's, I don't get what you're talking about. But then for whatever reason, she decided that she was just going to, we're going to go to bed together. And part of it was even in my job. I said, you know what? I'm turning things off at a certain point in time. I could work 24 hours a day if I want to. Turning it off, and then we have our family time and a time for my spouse and my family. So for whatever reason, she started doing that too, and it really helped her. So whether you guys do it or not, or whether you're willing to or not, consider it. Going to bed together at the same time brings you closer, in my opinion, and helps help our marriage, as opposed to different times and going to bed different, not at the same time together. So, I'm sure not everybody's going to agree with it, but consider it. We're home in the evenings together. Rarely do we do things that take us apart in the evening. Things like hunting, fishing, guys' nights out, girls' nights out, taking separate trips. I talked about that. Nothing wrong with those every now and then, but I'm just saying we should not have marriages where we're constantly doing other things away from each other, separately, separate trips, separate activities, too much. So, some of the stuff I've gotten to now, may not seem important to everybody here, or maybe you're like at the stage of my marriage, we've been through some things and now we're not at that point, we don't need that. But then also consider what are we modeling for our children as well. So if you're married and you have children, consider what they are seeing of your marriage, of your relationship, because your children are learning from your marriage how to do marriage. I had zero model for parenting or for marriage in my parents. Like I, husband and wife, I just didn't know any of it because it just worked together at all. So just consider what you're teaching your children at the same time. Individual time is also good, okay? I've never told my wife, no, you can't go do that. I don't think that's healthy either. So spouses, either way that goes. I've never told her, no, don't go hang out with this person. No, don't do this thing. I'm not going to hold her down to what I want to be done. So she just understands how I feel about things. And it is also good for her to do things individually as well. But on that note, we do not have friends of opposite sex, especially when you're married. I don't know if you guys have heard of the Billy Graham rule. That's part of it. We also look at things with the Billy Graham rule, which is Billy Graham did not communicate and or have relationships with the opposite sex without his wife or another woman or somebody present at the same time. So we've kind of adopted that as well. I'll try to say this as easy as I can. A lot of women didn't understand or agree with this. My wife disagreed with this completely for the longest time. For the most part, there are very small exceptions to this rule, but 98, 99% of the time, this is not really for married. This could be for married people too, but a man spends time with a woman or shows even in friendship because he's interested. 99% of the time. And my wife fought me on this for quite a long time over the years, and then she looked back, she goes, wait a minute. All these men that she was friends with were actually interested and made a move at some point in time. So whether you agree with that or like that or not, most of the time a man spends time with a woman because he's interested. So whether you're married or dating or whatever, keep that in mind. Another fun one here. Okay, we don't have any secrets. We know each other's passwords to everything. Email, cell phone screens, everything like that. We have those passwords. There's no secrets. She can look at my phone at any time. I can look at her phone at any time. We don't keep any of that stuff from each other. Finances, we could spend a whole series on this. We're not going to. But as far as bank accounts, I would argue that most situations, there should not be multiple bank accounts, but it can be managed a certain way. But we have a couple accounts because we have a business account. We have some savings accounts. And she has a check account she uses as well. We use them together. If she opens up her bank screen, she sees the same screen I see. She sees all the accounts. I see all the accounts. We don't have separate things going on. We know what we talk about our money together. We do that together. It is not separate. And that's going to be hard for a lot of people. And if you're not doing finances together, you need to get together and talk about that, start that as best you can. And then there are tools for that. There's ways to start that. We're not going to get into it. But I strongly encourage you guys to consider that one. There's no secret credit cards or secret spending or secret saving as well. I know this is stereotypical. I'll be stereotypical about this. Women a lot of times are going to want to save money or set money aside, mainly because they are not trusting their husband or what the husband is doing with the finances. That's not a good thing to do. You don't want to have secret spending. You don't want to have secret saving. You do not want to have credit cards that the other person does not know about. Maybe this is harsh for a lot of things, or there's a lot of that going on here. It was going on in our lives, so I'm not sitting here trying to pick on anybody. We struggle with all of these things, which is why I'm telling you guys this. So we make our decisions together, and then segue into that is the next point is going to be marital intimacy. I guess I could pause for a second because I've done a lot here right now. Anybody have any thoughts or questions or concerns about any of this? That was a lot. Anything you agree with? Anything you don't agree with? Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm not from the side that they're motivated to hire somebody. Focus on the family or something.
Focus on the family. Yeah.
Focus on the family. It deals a lot with this type of pressure. I recommend somebody who hasn't had the podcast. And yes, and within that same framework, there is this notion. People are different, and they react and they attach to these five love languages, and also how they relate to their spouse is different. So, what works for Tom and what works for John and what works for Mary, there are some nuances that, if we try, basic reasoning tells us what we need to do. Christian life tells us how we treat our spouses and our family. Mm-hmm. But still, we just need to make sure. There are things you say to some other people that are doing it. Let me just say, when Nina and I, we used to do insurance, we used to sell life insurance policies when we insured with my license again. In most cases, when I met families, I would like to talk about financial planning for them, the spouse, and their kids. Because this day, the husband is like, I cannot get a policy that she knows about because she might kill me to get money. I've heard that a lot. Husbands will refuse to get life insurance policies for themselves because they don't want the wife to know how much they're insured for in case something bad happens to the kids. And then I'm like, if something bad happens to you, how do you have to take care of themselves? You know, if you didn't implement that. So, yeah, those are some of the differences that some families have. Important.
Mm-hmm.
Again, culture comes into play, education comes into play, analysis, how you brought up citizens, so a lot of factors that trigger some of this.
100%. And so it is definitely not all one size fits all. So I tell you everything about us to hopefully maybe just trigger some thoughts, triggers ideas. I'm not saying everybody has to do everything we do. But as you mentioned, culture and the way you're raised too, that was part of this whole series, especially you have to figure out where you've come from, what you've been taught, what your family has done, what your culture has done. Those aren't excuses for bad behavior or having a marriage in an improper way. We have to face that and understand where we've come from and what we're facing. Lou, you got something?
Yeah, I'm just quite like what do you say about what's the priority there? If I look at it, the priority there is the middle one.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about
right. Exactly. 100%. But does your wife like words of affirmation?
So these are just the five general five words, right? And we all speak in one or two of these ways
typically. One or two.
So trying to figure out how to speak to your if you speak to your spouse always, so they always spoke to me in acts of service. Always. And I was like, I could care less.
She needs words of affirmation.
I need somebody to tell me I'm pretty every day.
It's based on your wife and not
you. Both of you.
Yeah. You should know yours based to you.
Yeah.
Both. You need to know yours. Your wife needs to know hers. You need to know your wife's.
Because I would tell Dave, like, I would compliment Dave, like, if you want to make Dave really uncomfortable, say something really good about him. I was like, I don't understand, like, why don't you like my poetry of affirmation?
Right.
So, it's not like a priority, it's just a matter of figuring out how to speak to the other person.
Yeah, so everybody needs to know what theirs are, and they need to know what their spouses are. Almost never are they going to line up the same. Very rarely, Louis, your wife probably is not an acts of service. Most are not together at the same. It's possible. You're going to share, you know, usually one or two. But again, I'm just speaking in general. Like, you're never not going to line up 100% typically. Yeah.
I know at one point we talked about this. We just had the husband-wife. What's their first one?
What's
your second one?
Right.
So basically, what do you have first?
It's not important. Yeah. And especially for us, my first is her last. Her first is my left. So if you just live your life that way and don't understand that and don't realize that and don't change your behaviors, you're not going to be happy in marriage. It's not going to go well, for sure.
Well, maybe it's not really for you, but what do you think about some me time? I hear this. Husband and wife, you're one.
Yeah, it's a good question. Like, what about me time? It's interesting. Like, I would have argued probably early on when I was miserable in my marriage, I would want me time. I really don't need me time. I need transition time. Like, men are very compartmentalized. So we are in one compartment, and it takes time to just put that box away and open up another box. But I think there's validity in that little bit of transition time. But I don't know. What do you think about me time? I think, like I did say, individual time. Like, my wife, you know, has friends here. Like, hey, sometimes just say, hey, Devlak wants to get dinner, you know, Wednesday night. That's cool. You know, nothing wrong with that. So, I don't know. What are you thinking?
I think me time is minor.
Right.
15 minutes, 30 minutes.
Right. Or days or weeks. Or...
When you say me time here, bro, it's my me time is me and God.
No. Sure.
That's my me time. Why is it me time? So, because why wakes up around our place? That's why I brought it up to you, because what's your definition of me?
Right.
Yeah,
alone time, I don't think there's anything wrong with alone time with God. I also think we need to share that time with our wife too, our spouse, that your spouse should have that time together as well.
When my wife wakes up, it's her time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One sec, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I think that's how the world
views. Mm-hmm. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know if this would help or not. Something I neglected to put in here, and don't lose your thought. One thing I didn't talk about, this is going to be more in parenting, but this shows up in marriage too. One of the biggest mistakes we make is that we put the kids first, especially like my wife learned this before I did, but she said she read a book. It's like when the husband comes home or spouse comes home or everybody comes home, it's like kids first and then the spouse. And no, it should be your kids are going to run up to you and you need to teach the kids, hang on, kids, I have time with my spouse. So that has to come first. Otherwise, we have it coming up, things that are going to be in between that work and kids or misplacing those relationships. Which happened?
Yeah, no, I wanted to say we shouldn't put the need time. Sometimes, because we're all in different walks of life, so we do different things for work and different things for careers. Me personally, when I do have an emergency that it takes me 3-4 days to work, I don't think coming home and then smiling will leave that the whole day is going to be my idea of no. I need to breathe. I need to be alone. I might be upset. I don't know my daughter's in the basement, and she understands that because I've been working for long. Mm-hmm. So I might sit there, decide to turn on the TV, watch something on TV, just or watch mm-hmm. a movie.
Yep.
Yeah, the kids don't bother me. You please just let me just be.
Yep.
I don't have to be praying. I don't have to be taking time talking to God. I just need to be praying. I don't think the meantime should be looked at as something that you're doing that is bad for your relationship.
So I can agree with some of that. And like I said, I need time to transition, and I need that. But if it's extended or if it's hurtful to your spouse, I'm not saying that it's for you or not. If it's hard, if that's hurtful to your wife, if your wife feels neglected or something like that, my argument is, what I've had to learn is you have to set that aside. Say, I really need this. But hey, maybe instead of 2 hours, I can take 10 minutes and then I'm going to set myself aside and say, my wife needs attention. Maybe my wife needs quality time. Maybe my wife needs words of affirmation or physical touch. So my only argument to that, I'm not arguing with you in your situation. You have to understand yours. My only argument is that was me, and that's a very, you can make that a selfish approach. No, so you have to say, what does my wife need also?
If your spouse talks about it, then you
have something. And if your wife is not hurt.
If you kind of explain that, you understand where you're coming from, it's not something you do every day or every week. So
right. Yeah. As long as it, that would be my only caution, is just understand what your wife needs. It sounds like you have that figured out. So I'm not arguing that you're not. So I'm going to move on quickly from this to marital intimacy. So this was supposed to be up before. There's my Dodge Viper. So marital intimacy, I have a couple verses here. We are going to talk about this a little bit. First of all, I have 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. I'm going to read that for you guys. It's up there if you can read it. Do I need to get rid of that?
How do I get rid of that?
Okay. So I'll read this here. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And another verse I have here, Proverbs 5:18-19, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. So, obviously, marital intimacy is important in my opinion. I guess I don't say obviously, but in my opinion, it's very important. I think God gave it to us. Obviously, He gave us sex within marriage. We discussed that a little bit already in dating and things like that. But God created it. I think it's important in our marriages. I think Christians struggle here just as much as anybody else. I think secular views have it way out of whack, and sometimes Christian views have it way out of whack. So it might be difficult to talk about it, but I will. So it binds a husband and wife together in one flesh. We hear that. We hear one flesh throughout Scripture quite a bit. And, you know, there is some symbolism and what have you to that, but I think it's also physical. There is a physical bond. And what we've already talked about, if you don't believe that, think about the sex outside of marriage. It affects the way you think. It affects the way you work with that other person. That's why it's designed to be in marriage. My counsel to young people has been, I have young men typically can come to me and say, I want to know if I should marry this person. And I think I said this to the men when we did the men's Sunday school before. I said, okay. First thing you need to do is stop having sex, and then you'll see if you should be married or not. Take some time, because that will change your thought process. So it is important because it binds you together. And if you are having sex outside of marriage, it is binding you to a person you are not married to, and it is affecting your decisions on how you relate to that relationship. So that's why I believe it's important. That's why I believe it physically binds us together as one flesh, as well as the symbolism there as well. So our marriage, we struggled. If you guys haven't heard it, listen to the tapes for our story about how, you know, we were basically a few days from divorce. My wife was leaving. I was a terrible husband. We did always have physical intimacy. I think that helped our marriage along that way. And that's all I'm going to talk about, you know, personally for that part. But had we left that part out too, who knows if how long we would have stayed together with everything else going on. So my argument is you could have a great marriage, but if this part is missing in your marriage, I still think there's something wrong and something missing. I do have, Nicole has it on her seat. I printed out, it's like 2.5-page article on the subject of Christian marital intimacy. It takes 5 minutes to read, and it's probably the best article I've read on it. And it really covers all the bases, but it's just concise. It has like one paragraph for each couple instances of things. So I printed some. They'll be back there. I really encourage you guys to take 5 minutes and read it because I think it's fantastic. So I'm going to go through some points here. I talked a little bit already about two shall become one flesh. God created sex to be enjoyable. So he didn't have to do it that way. He chose to do it that way. He's not surprised that we enjoy it. It's supposed to be enjoyed. So, and then there are some difficulties here, stereotypically, but it could go in either direction. You could have a spouse who is desiring it, and you can have a spouse who is not desiring it or is not enjoying it. That typically works in one direction, but it can work in others. If you're, you know, if you're a spouse and one spouse is wanting that part and one spouse is not, there is something wrong, and I think it needs to be figured out. And I would argue, if you're in a marriage, and this is the case, first thing you guys need to do is talk to each other right away. Just have an open conversation about it. I feel this way about it. How do you feel about it? Why is this the case? If you're not on the same page here. To be quite honest, I mean, I'm not going to say there's one number for or a frequency that everybody should adhere to. But especially, I mean, I remember statistics when I did this with the men before. I mean, evangelical Christian married couples reported the happiest sex life, the best satisfaction of sex life. That's the way it's supposed to be. Not, you know, you think society would tell you that many partners and one night stands and all this stuff is going to be more enjoyable, and it's not, because it's not God's design. So if you are in a marriage here and you guys are not enjoying this together, you need to figure that out. And I've got more on that coming up in a minute. But on the same topic, sex should never be used as a punishment or a reward. I hope we don't see that much, but that is a case of sometimes that is a reward if a spouse does something the other spouse wants them to be doing, or it is a punishment held back if a spouse is not doing something that another spouse wants them to be doing. And Scripture was clear on that you should not be holding that back from each other. And then another thing here. This is a practical step for me, in my opinion. This might be hard for some people to hear. You should not have electronics in your bedroom. Phone, TV, tablets, keep those out of your bedroom. They're a distraction from you and your spouse. And to be honest, your bedroom is for two things, sleeping and sex. Okay? That's it. My opinion, take it for what you want. But if you have these distractions in your bedroom and you are not having, you're also having issues in your sexual life, think about it. And again, that can also go back to this routine of being in bed at the same time. Helps with that as well. So what's off limits in the bedroom? I'm not going to be specific here, but obviously a spouse is not to force another spouse to do anything they're uncomfortable with, and that go against God's design or instruction. So anything like that would obviously be off limits. After that, almost nothing if you're two agree together, okay? Be comfortable with each other, as long as you agree, enjoy each other. God wasn't surprised what's pleasurable. It wasn't a mistake. So as long as you two agree, and you guys should talk about it, and be able to communicate with each other what you enjoy. We are supposed to enjoy our spouse sexually. That is what God gave us. And then I have a question coming up later on about, does this change with age? I'm not super old yet. I do think that, you know, there might be things, menopause, hormones, things like that, testosterone change as you get into older years, I don't know, 50s, 60s, 70s. So I would love to hear from people later on, not now, not publicly. But if you feel like you have a healthy sex life at an older age, I would actually love to hear from you about it in the right manner. Because what I do see, I'm curious, hey, the whole point is we are supposed to be helping the next generations, and the older are supposed to be helping the younger. And this is something I think that we don't deal with and talk about. What I do see is I do see spouses in Scripture having sex past their childbearing years. You see that? So I don't think this is supposed to stop. Okay? So if you are not enjoying this together, or if you do not have a healthy sex life, one person might be thinking, is my partner not good? I don't enjoy it. I think, honestly, it's really a mental approach to it. The way God created this, there is no good or bad. Like, you have this with your spouse and your spouse only. You do not have other instances to compare or experiences to compare to is ideal. Typically, that's not always what happens when we have premarital sexual encounters. But I think really it is the approach. If you are not enjoying sex with your spouse, figure that out. Maybe it's a mental approach. If it's not, I'll tell you, if it's infrequent, it is probably not going to be that enjoyable if you're not doing this frequently. Talk to a doctor. Maybe there is something physically wrong. There are mental conditions that will change here, and that is valid, but then talk to a doctor. If there's something wrong, figure that out. If there's nothing wrong medically, then I think you should be figuring this out in your marriage. And then communicate with each other in the bedroom. So this is an excerpt from the article that I have printed out. So this is on a topic of if sex is difficult. So this author says, while sex is not what makes a marriage great, it does act as an indicator of the health of a marriage, barring sexual difficulties due to medical issues. If emotional safety is lacking in your marriage, your sex life will indicate that. There may be reasons for trouble in this area, and it may stem from childhood trauma, past wounds, tension between a husband and wife. If you find yourself in this spot, we highly encourage you to see a biblical-based Christian counselor. Again, sex doesn't make a marriage great, but if issues around sex aren't given attention, then wedges will seep into other areas of your marriage, resulting in bitterness and division. So I think that last sentence is one of the most important things about this. I think what might end up happening in our Christian circles is, rather than the, what would you call it, the relationships where everybody's having sex outside of marriage or multiple partners, I think sometimes what we end up doing in our circles is saying, this isn't working in our marriage, so we just shut that off and set it aside and try not to deal with it and just say, this isn't a part of my life anymore. And I think that's really damaging for your marriage. And like the end of this article says, if these issues around sex aren't given attention, wedges will seep into other areas of your marriage, resulting in bitterness and division. So, again, I encourage everybody to read that article. We'll have it out there. It's very, very good, in my opinion. So, that's really it for that. Yeah, I'm already pretty late. So, sorry, guys, you don't get to talk about that. But next week, I think Cliff is speaking. But what we're going to next is going to be conflict resolution as well. I got one quick video to introduce, and then we'll do it again at that time. But this is great. This is just an intro to conflict resolution.
I think the thing I love about my marriage the most is, like, we argue really well. Right in the heat of it, we'll be like, ah, 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 and I'm like, this is healthy. We've both been to therapy, so we know how to argue. Like, I've learned that I have to acknowledge your feelings, which that's a big one. You know, I used to just argue about the facts like an idiot. It's not what it's about, all right? It's about facts and how she feels about them. And like an idiot, I was there like, I never said that, you know? And my therapist helped me out. My therapist was like, have you ever just tried acknowledging your feelings? I was like, why would I do that? And not saying, like, why would I acknowledge your feelings ever, but in an argument. That's not feelings time. That's how my brain works. There's facts time, and then there's feelings time. And I didn't know that those two intermingled, you know? Like, for me, feelings time is on the couch where I'm like, oh, I love you. I love our life. And then argument time is, I never said that. I saw what I said. But I can be honest with you, it works. It works. Like, I acknowledge your feelings, so I know how to argue. Like, she was like, but you said, and then I was like, I'm so sorry I made you feel that way. That must feel horrible to feel that way. And I feel awful that I had any part in making you feel that way. And she's like, thank you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it works. And then I was like, but for the record, I never said that. All right? Really done is I've moved the apology from the back to the front, and then we can have the regular argument after the fact. But then I've noticed that really helps.
So we can leave it on a funny note after discussing the marital intimacy. But we need to learn how to argue, how to have disagreements. But that was just hilarious to me because that's kind of like, that's me. Like, I just want to talk about the facts, and it's not necessarily what matters every time. It is about how your spouse feels as well. But I just thought that was a good indicator of that. So anyways, any closing thoughts or questions? We get a little late, but anything to end up with? Any input on the intimacy? Go ahead.
Not on the intimacy, but back to the love languages.
Mm-hmm.
Really what that little book is focusing on is, you know, we all have emotional needs. popular best-selling book, but it's not the novel.
Right.
There's other books that have read, you know, they have six categories instead of five. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's different. Those are general categories of love languages that apply to most people, but the main thing is get to know your spouse, what communicates love, respect, trust, all those emotional needs in a way that they understand, and in return, they reciprocate your emotional needs and what makes you feel. If you're communicating the emotional need level, a lot of the other problems in a relationship become a lot easier to handle.
Yep, absolutely. That's the point, for sure. All right. Well, we're pretty late, so I'll close this in a prayer. Father, thank you again for this time in Sunday school. Just thank you for your word and this group of people here. And I just pray that we can learn and just set ourselves aside and learn to serve, especially our spouse, just to serve like Christ served. And just help us understand your way and your will in our marriages and then in our parenting. And just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, everybody. Please read the article.